here, and you're listening to Life Made Me Do It, a podcast that talks about the things that life made us do. Join me as I share my stories and stories from people who I personally admire that can fuel inspiration as you create and live your life. I'm super excited for this episode. Well, every episode naman, but this episode is extra special. I met Jamie online, and though we are miles away from each other, I feel so connected with them. I am just so happy that they said yes to this. So without further ado, here's my conversation with the author of Mala and the Mask of Gold, Jaime Martin Cole Atilano.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Hi, Joanna. I'm doing well. How are you? Good evening. I'm thinking it's there in Manila. It's morning here right now in Chicago.
Yeah, actually, it's midnight here in Manila. It's already Saturday here. It's already tomorrow here.
Well, I guess good morning, good night. So hello.
Okay, thank you. First of all, thank you for taking the time to do this with me. I know you're quite busy doing a lot of things, and you know, I'm proud of you with all the things that you do, because I'm such a fan. I've always been a fan of yours. I'm very vocal about it, and you know that. So I can't wait to hear your story. But before that, please tell something about yourself for the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely, Joanna. And thank you again so much for your time today, and very honored to be here for the Life Made Me Do It podcast. So thank you so much for making the time. But for everyone who may not know a little bit about me, my name is Jaime Martin Cole Atilano. I identify as non-binary, gender fluid. I'm actually an immigrant from the Philippines. I was born off the southern islands of Mindanao, in a city that maybe some folks may know as Zamboanga City. So that's kind of my hometown. Immigrated to US when I was around 9 years old. But pretty much about me, high level, is that, you know, I'm an author of a novel that I recently published called Mala and the Mask of Gold. And outside of that, I'm also, you know, an advocate for LGBTQ+ issues. I fight for a lot in regards to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and do a lot of speaking engagements. And for my professional line of work, I had about 2+ years of experience working in the consumer packaged goods industry, and now I work in tech full time. So currently based in Chicago. So if anyone has ever been to Chicago, definitely recommend visiting the Windy City.
Oh, wow. All right. I love it. You are indeed a representation that we need, not only, you know, for the LGBTQIA+ community, but also for the Filipinos in general, especially for those who have the dream to thrive abroad, just like me.
Yes. We got to manifest those dreams, right? And I'm manifesting that for you, Joanna.
Thank you so much. Okay, so let's start.
Sure.
Okay, all right, take it away.
All right, so I know today we'll be kind of talking about exploring individuality and creativity, and a little bit about me. I'd love to kind of explore my story of how I decided to publish and write a book, you know, at 23. I thought, you know, it would be interesting to kind of share that outcome, because I feel like when we think about publishing a novel or publishing some sort of, you know, work or document, you think you have to be like 40. Right, yeah. to do something like that. And whenever I spoke with people about wanting to write a book, wanting to do it, not a lot of people really knew how to engage in that process. And it was something that, you know, I was shut down in exploring. I think growing up in, you know, a Filipino household, and, you know, I think a lot of us can attest to kind of the pressure that we have to do to kind of mold into, you know, that 9-to-5 life, or that traditional life of either becoming a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is great. But I think we're multifaceted as people. We have so many passions outside of just work. And sometimes our work is our passion. And for me, I really loved writing. I really loved storytelling. And I really saw an opportunity to bridge that diversity gap in literature that I wasn't seeing in, you know, the books that I read, particularly within the US context. And, you know, there are a lot of Filipinos and LGBTQIA plus people, you know, just not in the US, but globally, yeah. Right? And so that's kind of, you know, the starting point of why I decided to write a book, but I kind of didn't know where to go, where to start. I've always known I wanted to write a story. And essentially, funny enough, what happened was I had gotten this LinkedIn message from this guy, right? I don't know if everyone has a LinkedIn. If you don't have a LinkedIn, whether you're creative or whether you work in the working world, I highly, highly recommend making a LinkedIn profile. And so this person had reached out to me via my LinkedIn DMs and was like, hey, you know, I'm starting this, you know, book creators program. Right? Would you be interested in joining in all these things? And so the first thing I thought was, okay, this is a scam, right? I'm being scammed.
Someone's coming in
like, you know, because you get the LinkedIn DMs and you're thinking like, who is this person?
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at their, and I look at their profile, and lo and behold, it was actually a professor at Georgetown. His name's actually Eric Cloyster. Yeah. So for folks who are not familiar, Georgetown University is like a kind of prestigious, not kind of, is a prestigious university in the capital of the US in Washington, DC. Mm-hmm. I did not attend Georgetown. I went to University of Maryland at College Park. I am a proud Terp. But this professor had reached out to me about this program, about participating. And it was just very funny to me. And I had thought that this was a scam. And then I was like looking at his profile, you know, and I was like, you know, is this a Tinder swindler situation? I am the one who saw that on Netflix. It wasn't. He was on ABC News for his program. And so I was able to do a little bit of research about it. And I was intrigued. I've always wanted to write. Right. And I've always wanted to tell a story, but I didn't really know how to break into the industry. I didn't really know how to even get started. You know, for most people who write, usually you have to get like an agent or you have to wait, you know, do all these, maybe get a master's in, you know, fine arts, right? Some sort of credibility, you get it. And I didn't have that. But that didn't really stop me from wanting to tell a story, tell a story that resonated with our communities, right? And so this opportunity had kind of fallen into me, my LinkedIn profile. At first, I was still really hesitant. So I told him to, you know, maybe we can set up a call. And he was like, yes, like, let's do a call. So Professor Eric Cloyster had called me and we had pretty much a 10-minute conversation that kind of changed my life.
Wow.
I was studying in a coffee shop, right? Right. So kind of like, I know, Joanna, you like to hang out in coffee shops yourself, but I feel like that's the best way to get productive. And I was in a coffee shop studying for my midterms for accounting because I'm a business major. Hate accounting. I don't really remember much about it, but I just remember being very stressed. And his call was something that kind of gave me a fresher breath air, right? Because it was something that didn't have to do with accounting, didn't have to do with college. It was like this opportunity to write, which is what I really love to do and I love to pursue. And so in that conversation, we were just kind of going about, you know, if you wrote a book, like what would it be about? We were just kind of brainstorming ideas. And the biggest thing out of that conversation, out of that 10-minute conversation that he had asked me was this question, right? And this question still rings to my day and kind of motivates me to everything that I decide to do in my youth and in my life. And that question was, would you regret doing this in 10 years, right?
Oh
like, what
God.
Would you regret in 10
I
years, right? Like, and you kind of put yourself, you start to visualize what, okay, 10 years from now, would I regret this?
Yeah.
And dang, it's kind of like, you know, you start to kind of play the odds of choice. And yeah, I would have regretted it. I feel like 10 years from now, 10-year-old Jaime or 10-year-old Jaime, like 34-year-old Jaime would have been like, damn, what if you wrote a book? Like what would have happened? You know, like the worst thing is nothing really, right? But the worst thing is nothing could happen, but at least I wouldn't regret it. And I think regret is one of the most painful emotions that a lot of us can go through, especially as we're, you know, in our youth. I'm sure a lot of folks are kind of young listening in, or maybe you're a little bit older, right? You just start to realize regret is the worst feeling. And so that was essentially what kind of prompted me to start this program and start writing. And I feel like also one of the biggest thing, right, is that why aspect. Another part is leveraging resources. And when we think about creativity and exploring our own individuality, that process doesn't have to be a lonely journey.
Yeah.
Right. And so I felt very excited that there was this kind of space, this program that was, you know, I felt like I was supported. I felt like I could really grow, right? Explore my creativity with other creatives, other authors. And, you know, one thing to know is that you are the average of all of the people that you surround yourself with, right? All people, right? So if I wanted to be an author and I had no authors in my current, you know, surrounding, I had to, what was that going to do for me? So I took this opportunity as that way to build in that average, right? To push myself to that scale so that I could really see myself becoming an author and really explore that creative side and my individuality within a space that fosters that, right? Within a space that has community, has bonding, yeah. And has other folks who are also within a similar space to help support that. So that was pretty much it. And those were kind of like the biggest lessons from my experience and how I applied, you know, that way of becoming an author. And so being 23, the idea of being a published author, you know, 10 minutes before that call wasn't really real. And then after 10 minutes, it became a real mission, right? The vision became clear. Yeah. And, you know, after 2+ years, it was something that I still am so grateful to have had and gone through. And I'm so glad to see it finish and come full circle with Mala and the Mask of Gold.
Yeah. What are your struggles in the process? Like, of course, from, you know, from point right. A to point B, like from that phone call to writing the novel and then publishing it. What are your struggles?
Right. That is a great question, Joanna. Really looking back, I had so many adversities. So, sorry, yeah. I'm like catching my breath. The biggest one I would say is imposter syndrome. I would say, and I think a lot of us as creatives, right, whenever we start something new and we don't have, quote unquote, the credibility, right, or the history to back it up, you start to feel like you're an imposter, yeah. That this dream that you're chasing, you shouldn't even be there. And it's kind of like a double-edged sword because that's the point of being creative. You're an innovator. You're supposed to be a pioneer. Right. And that's why we're here, is to create something new that didn't exist before. So the biggest aspect was getting over that feeling. And I really leaned in on a lot of my community to help support me through that. And that was leaning in through my friends, my family. And that was also another issue too, right? There were a lot of people who I was close with, not going to like call people out, but I realized, you know, we're not supportive in this journey, right? Because it's so, yeah. Right? You get it. It's so radical. It's like out of the norm. And a lot of people who yeah. are not in that space, right? Like you can attest to that. You just would assume that they would be supportive and then they're not. And then you're so shocked. Not only are you dealing with now, or not only was I dealing now with the feeling of imposter syndrome that I didn't have to be here, but now the people who I thought I could lean into were not there for me. Right. Yeah. And so that was really hard at first. And it was something that I had to push through. And I had to be very, very careful with who I was essentially getting support from. And that's why a program like this that Professor Eric Koester had fostered was so important to me, because while I may not have had the support from the people I wanted, I had support from all of those who were facing a similar journey who wanted to be an author. Right. Yeah. And I was able to seek that out through that community that already existed and people who felt, you know, all those same feelings. And that was important. So I really urge a lot of creatives to look for that outside community and to not, you know, not let those obstacles stop you, because there are people who feel the same way, like us in this call. We feel the same way, right? And I'm so glad that we're connected now, right? Because now we can share these feelings and share it in a platform like this, right? This podcast. because a lot of people feel this way. They feel like they feel alone. And in reality, there's so many other creatives who are also exploring this and also feeling these same ways. And now you have that support, right? Now you can connect through that feeling. And so that was helpful in tackling imposter syndrome for me. And I think one of the biggest things was I had a mentor in the program. His name was Alex, and he was also a writer, person of color. And he had mentioned to me, you know, I understand the feelings of imposter syndrome, and you cannot let that beat you, right? Think about it like a hero's journey. It, right, we tell a story, right? Hero's journey, like an author, let's visualize, right? Hero's journey has like 7 pillars. Let's keep it simple for the podcast, right? In every hero's journey, we have, you know, the 3 pillars, the call to action, right? Here's your call to adventure. Maybe that's you wanting to start your creative adventure, right? Starting your podcast, starting your book, starting a YouTube channel, whatever that is, a blog. And then you have, you know, your trials and tribulations, kind of the climax, which is essentially the monster, the big bad monster you have to fight. And that could be imposter syndrome, right? That's that dragon that you have to quote unquote slay. And then you have that, that third pillar, that third arc, which is essentially once you slay that dragon, you know, you have that reward, right? That return to home, you did it, you're amazing, you slayed the beast, you're a hero, right? So you kind of have to kind of go through that process a lot. And it never ends, right? The feeling never ends. You're going through the cycle of the hero's journey over and over throughout the creative process, because you come to find out very quickly, imposter syndrome, it's like that bad villain in the hero. So I don't know, people are like Powerpuff Girls fans. So it's the Mojo Jojo. Like you defeat him in an episode.
He's always there.
Always there. You got to defeat him again in another way, right? And then, you know, that's the reality of life, right? You kind of keep going, and then you kind of start to create a process, and you realize having team members, right? Having your Blossom, you have Bubbles, you have Buttercup with you. You have, you know, all of the support to help get you through there, and leaning in helps you kind of beat the villain each time, right? And so that was a very helpful kind of visualization for me from what my mentor was saying. You know, imposter syndrome is always going to be there. You're going to have to learn how to deal with it and cope with it, or else you're not going to succeed in your goal, right? And so that was one way that helped me a lot.
What are your big moments during this process? Like your favorite one?
I have so many favorite moments. I think for me, well, really the gratification, right, of putting in a work like this and seeing the impact that it has had on readers, right? Some of the moments I had were family members reaching out to me and sending me, you know, messages saying, you know, my child came out as LGBTQIA and I bought this book for them. Right. And I bought this book for me so that I can learn more how to, one, understand, right, the community. Because of course, not a lot of, you know, if you think about Southeast Asian families, it's not something that a lot of parents really understand in their generation. And so having a mother say, you know, I bought this book for me to learn and then for me to connect with my child, that was a huge impact for me. Like I teared up. And then another one was, you know, in this process, again, someone, you know, because I was writing about the story of Babay Lanz, right? And just the beauty of spiritualism and animism in, you know, Filipino folklore and culture. And, you know, this practice is very real, shamanism. And it's practiced so differently and so beautifully across different regions within the Philippines, outside of the Philippines, with Filipinos who exist in other countries, right? And it's a way for them to connect back to their roots, where they feel, you know, a story like this allows them to kind of get lost in that world, right? And I had someone say, you know, after reading this book, it gave me the courage to, you know, pursue my Babay Lanz, you know, studies and kind of get some sort of like, you know, certification to practice this, right? And for me, I was so happy to hear that, because that wasn't, you know, you start to see the unintended impact of a story like Mala and the Master Gold. When I wrote this book, I didn't write it for sales. I wasn't writing it to be the next J.K. Rowling, right? The next Harry Potter. I was writing it for that purpose. Like I knew there was a gap And I knew a story like this would make an impact. If it could just reach one person, that matters to me, right? Because it's going to change their life. And look what it did, right? Now you can see families healing. You see a person pursuing a practice that, you know, I didn't know that they would likely want to do, right? And so that for me, the impact was a huge, huge portion. I think as creatives, you kind of get lost in that, right? When you first start, when you're doing it, you don't see that impact. And again, this is 2+ years, right? Like I had to go through whatever you put out there. As long as it impacts one person, that's all that matters, because you never know what your work is going to do and influence in that person's life. And then you're just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, that's true. So how did you come up with this idea or the storyline? Like, how did you, or what factors made you decide to jump in this storyline?
Yeah, so getting to the fun part, right? Exploring the individuality and creativity, for sure. I think it was twofold, really. One, the creativity aspect, I'll start there. I've always been a huge fan of mythology and, you know, Filipino folklore. I know if, folks are here, you know, Budget Tan, huge, huge inspiration with his story. Tresse, oh my gosh, amazing, amazing usage of, you know, Filipinx mythology and just making it really cool. Right. And delving into themes of, you know, family and adventure. And there's this like subject of darkness into it. And just other, you know, Filipino authors out there really pushing the narrative of creativity. I was also a huge fan of Rick Riordan and the Percy Jackson series. And so for me growing up and seeing.
Oh, I love that.
Love Percy Jackson. And so seeing those types of, you know, adventures was huge for me. And I'm the type of person, like, I just love writing, and I just love fantasy, right? And for me, when I wanted to write a book, I thought, okay, if I'm going to spend like 2 years writing something, it's going to be something I like, and it's going to be something fun. And I'm a huge fantasy buff. I love anything fantasy. And so, and really Rick Riordan in one of his notes, and he was like, if you want to be a writer, an author, you should take note from your favorite author, like take inspiration from the writing style of your favorite author. Okay. And that allowed me the permission to then, you know, pull inspiration from not just Rick Riordan, you know, Budget Tan, and, you know, even writers from anime and manga, right? So like Naruto, right? And pulling in, you know, what are the universal themes within these stories that I found beauty in their creativity? And how can I let readers kind of fall and get lost in this adventure of the Philippines, right? And so that was kind of what sparked the creativity. You know, I really wanted to write about magic. I really wanted to explore Babaylans and shamanism. And I, at that time, I had visited Dumaguete before COVID, of course.
Wow, right? I love that place.
Yes, and you can. There's so much.
Have you been to Sikihor?
No, and I that's my next. I want to go back to Sikihor.
Oh my gosh,
and I think before I even write my second book, maybe we can hang out together, Joanna. Maybe.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna hold you to it, honey.
Yeah. So, let's go. Let's do it.
Sikihor. Let's do it. Seriously, whenever you can say okay after this call, we can actually plan. I will go. So Dumaguete was beautiful. I wanted to go to Sikihor, but I didn't really have time. It wasn't in our schedule.
But it's so close there.
It's so close. And Dumaguete is magical in its own right, right? And so I started getting a lot of inspiration just being within the islands, right? And meeting the beauty of the community. Everyone there is so nice.
Yes.
And just you can feel the magic of Dumaguete in the food, in the culture. And that's where I really drew a lot of my inspiration as well. And then it started to tie in from not just creativity of world building, right? And all of this from other authors and the beauty of magic, but then start to, you know, in tandem bridge individuality.
Yeah.
Right. Cause now I start to bring in my culture, you know, my history. I start to bring in the Philippines into the mix, right? And so that's where a lot of that background of, you know, the Philippines started becoming source of the inspiration within the story. And then I realized too, you know, in my research, I was doing a lot of history and Filipino folklore, and there was so much LGBTQ plus themes, right? And Babaylans historically too, where, you know, they were at the time, you know, transgender identity wasn't, you know, a term that was used, right, or created. Yeah. it just is. You start to see, and you start to see this facet of identity across other, communities outside of just the Philippines, right? Native Americans within America also had it. They call their communities, within their communities, they call it Two-Spirit, right? And so Babaylans had similar aspects too, right? Where you had this like feminine and masculine energy. And so a lot of it was seen as divine, right? Or a lot of it you could see where trans women, right? Literally trans women who were leading a lot of these aspects. And also just, it just women in general, like femininity was seen as a divine power, right? And it's just so beautiful to see how that was like historically, and then just so sad to see it now in modern times, right? Where you see women just treated so differently in how they were treated in the past.
Yeah.
And then you just see, trans people, especially those who are non-binary, right? They just not treated as humans, right? Where in the past they were, pretty much seen as divine, right? Or closest to the gods and the deities that they had worshipped as kind of this linkage. And so I wanted to really draw in that aspect within Mala and within the Babaylans. And so that's why I made, Mala, the main character, I made them non-binary, gender fluid. Of course, write what you know always. Yeah. I am non-binary, gender fluid. And I also made a character, a trans woman, Atelani, Atelani, when I was growing up in the Philippines, I actually drew inspiration from this woman who helped raise me, Lani, because at the time I was separated from my mother. So Lani was kind of like the second mother in my life, this figure. And she was such a warmth and a light, and we still keep in touch. And it was something that, I wanted to kind of, represent within the book, is just like this womanhood, right? And then also I wanted to represent, trans women as this divine, powerful, mentor figure. And so for me, that's why I included it. And so you can see how I mixed within this. And there wasn't, right, I didn't plan this out. Like, I didn't have like, I'm going to do this and this. It all just came naturally as I immersed myself and drew from my own experiences. And then that helped act as a guiding light to then the vision of the story. And then once I knew inherently what the story was going to be about, how it was going to start, how it was going to end, that then led me to then do the research and to bring in, okay, how is the best way to tell the story in a Filipino light, in a light that is, highlighting LGBTQ+ experiences, right? And then also telling in a story that's like, okay, if you're not Filipino, if you're not LGBTQIA, right, how can you enjoy the story? What are the universal themes that we all share, right? And that's, adversity, that's family, right? That's community, all these things, magic, adventure. So seeing it as in that light as well started to help inform how I should write the story and explore individuality and creativity.
Yeah, and I think with this kind of stories, we come to realize that everyone's just a human being. Like, everyone Absolutely. Is equal, and whether you're gender fluid or genderless or whatnot, yeah. or Filipino, or white, brown, black,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's really for me the message of, I guess, the treasure of this book is, everyone's just, we're all the same. And we just Absolutely. Have to, embrace that, because once we embrace that we're all the same, we'll also find our individuality, our own, our own selves, and at the same time, our own creativity or creative process.
You couldn't have said it any better. That's absolutely right. I agree. Couldn't agree more.
I actually met Budget Tan. We call her him Budget here.
Oh, Budget. Oh my God.
It's fine. But it's
can
fine.
Can I repeat it?
I'm no, sorry. It's fine. It's okay. He'll understand, I'm sure. Yeah, but I met him
Budget
because
is so cool. He's amazing.
I met him, I'm sure he doesn't know me, but I met him when I guess 10 years ago. Yeah, I was so young. but we were in the same industry. We were working in the same industry, that's advertising. And the advertising world in the Philippines is really small. Like, people know people. And so I get the chance to really be immersed in that scene, in the, you know, the networking side of advertising. So I got to meet him, and he's so cool. Even like seeing him in person, it's just cool. Like, his presence is cool.
But he's a legend, absolutely. And I think that's so cool for you to share that, you know, you have experience, and the world is so small, right? Like, here you
are. I know.
You know, you were able to literally work with him. But then do you see like how his impact impacted me all the way in the United States, right? And now we're connected in this platform. You just never know, right? But the biggest thing, right, is that we're out here putting a creativity, and he was out there putting his creativity, and now all of our creative works have somehow touched each other, resonated each other, to be in this space today, to explore it, and now talk about it, right? And so that's kind of the awesomeness about it all. So.
Anyway, any sacrifices you made during the process, during this book writing?
Right. Definitely, I would say, like, my sanity.
Your social life?
Social life, for sure. I because at the time when I was writing this book, I was still in college. I was graduating my senior year in college. Wow. And then I was working full time.
Wow.
So I really had to put in the hours, like after work sometimes. And I was in an industry, like I mentioned, consumer packaged goods. You know, coronavirus had just impacted everything in life. So I was working like 60, 80 hours, you know, a week because of just the impact of COVID in the supply chain. And after graduating and working full time, you know, when you're tired, you just don't want to do anything but just like rest and sleep. But, you know, I committed to this, and I had such a motivation to complete the story. Like, even after working, like, I would just spend hours after work and just put in this book and research people and meet people. I was researching other people too. And like, I had to make time researching other Filipino people, right? And because I was like, what do you want to see in this type of story? I was researching people who were in the LGBTQIA community, right? Because I don't represent every trans person, every non-binary person, every LGBTQ person. So I was like, you know, what do you want to see, right? And I was also interviewing other people who weren't in those communities, because I was like, well, if I wrote this book, how would you connect with it? Right. And I had to garner so much. And it was just a lot of time sacrificed, for sure, socially and just mentally, but it was worth it. And I think, again, I paced myself, right? I wasn't rushing myself in the process, and I had accountability within the program. I think that was the biggest thing. Having a program and having resources like, you know, the Creators Institute is what's called, and anyone on this call, you know, I think it's global. Wow. So if you want to really do it, like, you can join in. I'm pretty sure they would love to have someone in another country. I'm sure it's global, you know, participate, because everything's like virtual nowadays too. But, it, you know, Dr. Eric Koister, you know, having that Creators Institute program was really vital in holding me accountable and having the support that I needed. And other people were in the same boat too, right? Everyone has their working life, and in having to then juggle writing a story, it's not easy. So that's where the support really came in very handy throughout this entire process, because if I did this alone, I don't know, honestly, I couldn't tell you if I could have finished it, because I just think it just would have been so overwhelming given, you know, moving to a pandemic and then having to start a new full-time job, just recently graduating. So those were the biggest obstacles, for sure, is just holding myself accountable and finding time management to execute against the creative vision.
You had a book tour, right?
Oh, I didn't. Okay, good question. I didn't have a book tour. Like, it wasn't like an official tour, but I had definitely a lot of book engagements, and I was a part of like a tour. So there were tours occurring, and so I would be one of the guest speakers that were invited to speak on said tour. So one of them was the Maryland Leadership program. It was like a student organization, and so they had tours of, you know, inspirational leaders kind of speaking to students, right, to help them kind of you know, pursue whatever dreams or, you know, creative visions they want to do. So I was very honored to have been a guest to speak at that. And also I was invited to speak at, you know, multiple occasions like Busboys and Poets. So for folks in the Philippines who may not know, you know, it's a small independent DC, Maryland, Virginia led bookstore. And I love, you know, supporting, you know, independent bookstores, right?
Yeah.
And supporting the local community. And so I had an opportunity to kind of do a speaking engagement there. And I've done speaking engagements in schools, at universities, even within companies to just share, you know, not just about Mala and the Massive Goal, but to share about diversity, equity, inclusion. So writing this story has opened me into different avenues, right? In speaking engagements, whether that's, you know, it doesn't have to be correlated to just my book. Maybe the topic, right, because I wrote a story like this, now I become kind of the subject matter expert in diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And how do we even go about exploring those notions, right? Because that was essentially why I wrote the book in the first place, was to bridge the gap in diversity, but in a way that was fun, in a way that was engaging, and in a way that was true and authentic to me. And so I was able to kind of do those types of workshops for companies, for nonprofits, organizations, and that has been kind of a very eye-opening and insightful way. Actually, funny you actually mentioned, I was invited back in April. So in April of this year, the University of Maryland, College Park, my alma mater, is actually flying me out to the university to speak for their, the Terps Under 30 event. So it's not official yet. I mean, it's official, but they haven't put out marketing for the event. Yeah. But I mean, here I am, right? Because I published this book and because of where I am today, they want me to speak about just kind of the journey about it all. And so, you know, although I haven't been on any speaking tour specifically, I've been invited to just do a lot of one-off speaking engagements. And I think that just has been one of the cool experiences since becoming a published author.
Wow. You should go here. Have a book tour here in the Philippines.
Hey, Joanna, I would love, I mean, would people, if there's a demand or if people would, I would love to come to Manila or wherever.
Let's make it happen.
It would be an honor. Hey, Joanna, if you're down, I'm down. Listen, I would be honored to come. Maybe we can collaborate with your agency.
My gosh.
Seriously. Anyway, there we go. I would be so down. And even if it's like five people that show up. Family members. Yeah, I would be fine with that because any excuse to come back home is a great excuse. And, you know, you never know what, you know, a opportunity like this would impact. So, and maybe I get to see Budget, right? And maybe we can invite him.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, right.
Well, but wherever it goes, I'm always down for the count. You'll find out, like, I'm, as much as I love writing adventure, I am myself an adventurer. Mm-hmm. So I'm very true to that within my spirit. So I'm always down to do exciting, fun things and explore. So
yeah, because I think I believe that, you know, this book would really help, I guess, open more minds, especially in the Philippines. Because we're accepting in a way for like LGBTQ community, but we're not really very proactive in championing this kind of stories or championing the people behind these stories. And I think that's what is lacking in this country, you know, being proactive in championing something you believe in, you know, something that you stand for. So I think this is, I hope, let's manifest it.
Manifest, yes. But I definitely want to come in and help out and manifest. And I do want to just like call out to you. I know there are amazing nonprofits in the Philippines putting in the work, right, to fight for those LGBTQIA plus, but like you mentioned, just the overall society itself, it's just not, you know, sadly, unfortunately, it's not where it needs to be. And that's also due to a lot of, you know, just where the leadership sees, and that's why we fight for these things, right? Why we fight for human rights. And so from a global standpoint, I definitely do stand in solidarity with a lot of the work that the LGBTQIA nonprofits and advocates are doing. And I would love to have this story come in and just add to that work, right? Especially from a global landscape, but also not take away, right, from the real, you know, Philippine experiences that a lot of, you know, Filipinx people within the community are experiencing. So, but I hope this story does come from an inspiration standpoint. And no, by means do I want to come in as taking over, right, the lived experiences that other people are facing day to day, like in Manila, Cebu, wherever, within the islands.
Yeah, I guess it, you know, it burns down to, we just also need another representation.
For
you
sure.
We want to have that, you know, massive number of representation, because, you know, I think the, for Filipinos, I guess our, I don't know, downside is sometimes we shy away from those kind of, you know, those doors that are open and, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, but I think with,
right,
you know, with representations that are, who are really thriving globally, I guess that is something that we need. Those are the things that we want to see. So yeah, so I really hope that one day you come here and with the book, with the Mala and the Mass of Gold.
Yes, I'll come in with like 10 books and just give them out for free. Like, please. You know, I would love to come in. And this would actually be something, if we take it offline, listen, I would love to come to Manila to work with you and see you and share the story however the best way is possible. Any good way to come back to the homeland and, you know, share this type of thing and be a part of that movement, right, that we were just talking about. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's claim it this year.
Manifest this year.
This year, let's claim it.
Okay.
Okay, Jamie, just to wrap this up, any advice that you can give for the audience, for the listeners?
So I would say for any listeners listening in, I would say, so I know probably most people are probably, you know, within like the older millennials, probably a little bit younger. And for anyone who are younger, the biggest advice I can tell you is, you know, no matter how old you are or young you are, right, wherever you are in your stage of life, is don't be afraid of owning your own story. Seriously, don't be afraid of owning your story. You are pretty much the author of your life, right? You write every chapter of your life that you live day in, day out. And always remember, what will you regret in 10 years? And maybe not just 10 years, on your deathbed. Put yourself to that extreme.
Yeah.
If you were on your deathbed and you were maybe sharing a life with your child or your, you know, grandchild, and just they asked you, dang, and you, what would you tell them? Would you tell them, I lived a great life? Or would you say, I had so much regrets, don't be me? Which would you choose, right? Like, you want to be the first. You don't want to be the last. You want to be that first. Like, I lived a great life. You know, I had some failures. I learned so much along the way, but I don't regret anything because I did it, right? And you inspire that next generation, that next legacy to do the same. So really, that's my advice for anyone, is you own your own story. Really, really don't let regret be that fear or that pain that dictates your life. And try to live life with no regrets, really, the best that you can with whatever resources and help along the way.
Right. I love it, Jamie. Thank you so much for taking the time for this, for sharing your story. I love it. And I hope people would really, you know, dive into this episode, because this is so, so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, maraming salamat po, Joanna. I appreciate that. And thank you for your time today and having me here. Yeah. So very honored as well.
Salamat, Jamie. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And that was episode 6 with Jamie, or Jaime. I'm sure there's a lot of takeaways from this episode. You can follow Jamie on Instagram at JamieCoAuthor or at JamieMartinCo. And you may also purchase their book on Amazon. The link will be included on this episode description. And yeah, if you want more of this, follow us on Apple Pod and Spotify. And you can also download this episode on anchor.fm. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye!